We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's April 21st. It's 2021. We have 12 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. And I'm joined by my good buddy, Genie for 07. Grant, how's it going, my friend?
Not too bad. This is definitely an interesting slate to dissect. We have, what, seven teams on a back-to-back? Eight teams on a back-to-back? So no injury reports for them and likely change the entire slate. So it's been fun trying to figure out what exactly is going to happen tomorrow. And yeah, it'll be a fun slate full of a lot of cross-off teams until we get more news.
I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. There's barely any lines out. There's a ton of injury news. This is going to be like a full-on first look. Maybe what have people been doing recently kind of stuff. But you're going to have to pay attention to news because there's going to be a lot of stuff that will be very relevant with news, closer to lock. So we'll give you guys a first look like we always do. But again, make sure you're paying attention to crunch time and all that stuff. Right now, you can get 5 days of NBA for $5. It ends April 23rd. So a couple more days of that. Projections, lineup optimizer, GPP stuff. You guys can, it's right there at the main page on Roto Grinders. You can check that out. Take advantage of it. 5 days for $5, NBA premium. Also, we're sponsored, brought to you guys by superdraft.com. Again, if you're struggling with salary cap formats and you want to try something different, they have a multiplier. You're not worrying about a salary cap over there. Use promo code Grinders for a $50 instant deposit alongside the 50% deposit match bonus up to $500. Deposit $500 and you're going to get a lot of free monies, and then play NBA and Grant's going to pay the rake for you. So it's perfect. Let's jump in. A lot to get through.
Real quick thing. Super Draft now in lineup HQ on Roto Grinders. So super easy to build lineups.
All right. Even better. There you go. Check it out. We start with Chicago at Cleveland. Hey, no total in this one. Listen, there's no totals really in any of these games, so I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to get into the games. Brown is doubtful. Levine is out, and Dotson's out on the Cleveland side. What's standing out to you here for Chicago?
Nothing but Coby White. Like, obviously, without Levine in there, there's a little bit of a hole. Coby White's been playing pretty well recently. Put up a 38 and a 45-point game. His price tag of 5,600 is definitely a little bit too low. Likely none of most of the value plays on the slate, by the way, while we're going through this, unless they're really good automatically, they're probably not going to make the cut. Like, with so many teams on a back-to-back the night before, there's going to be value that opens up. And just the NBA, in this part of the season, there's always going to be a bunch of value that ends up opening up on this side of the slate. It's almost guaranteed every single time. So unless a player really stands out as a good value play, not going to get mentioned. So I'm not bothering with Satoransky, Williams, Markkanen. Like, maybe if you want to use Tice, you can. Like, he's always fine if nothing else opens up, but likely a guy that I won't use. Coby White and Vooch are the only two that really stands out. Vooch obviously been playing decent, not great, not really blowing the top off any game and putting up huge numbers. But he doesn't really make the cut. There's a lot of good high price guys that are going to be very much in play in the next game. Probably, I believe the next game we're going to be talking about. So really it's Coby White. Guy's been shooting a decent amount. He's been stuffing the stats board. He's playing 30 plus minutes in all these games, like without Levine in there, getting more usage. He's a great play. No one else is a really good play from Chicago.
Yeah. Like, we have a very small sample size of Levine being off the floor with Vooch on this team, and Vooch has a 29.1% usage rate, and he's averaging 1.5 fantasy points per minute. It's a matchup against Cleveland. He could easily smash in this spot. So I don't mind Vooch. He's kind of at the high end, but I like the Coby White call. Really the only two guys that I'm looking at here for Chicago. Those two guys, like Thaddeus Young, obviously he sees a bump with Levine off the floor, but he's just not playing enough minutes to even be relevant. So I'm out on him. On the other side of this game, the Cleveland side, I feel like with everybody healthy, there's just too many bodies.
Yeah. I mean, you can absolutely take a shot on Garland or Sexton. Either one of them have a big ceiling on any given slate. They're both going to play. Those two guys for certain are going to end up playing high 30 minutes. If this game ends up staying close, both their price tags are reflective of their median outcome, but not really their ceiling outcomes, because these guys can get hot. They can put up a 45, 50-point game at any given time in a 7.4K and 6.8K. Both of them offer you some upside. Love is a little bit interesting in GPP. He's been getting 30 minutes the last few games that end up staying close. So if he ends up doing that, like, he shot 0 for 4 from the Beyond the Arc last game, shot 2 for 10 for Beyond the Arc the last game, he can get a double-double. And if he gets hot from Beyond the Arc, he can end up with 20, 25 points in any given matchup. So he's got, I think you can take a shot on in GPPs, depending on what else opens up. But predominantly stay away from Cleveland. It's just strictly GPP shots at low ownership.
Yeah, like, honestly, when I'm looking at this team, Sexton and Garland's usage is fantastic. Love, his usage is okay, 25% over the last 2 weeks. All these guys are averaging a fantasy point per minute. It's a 12-game slate, and I don't know if they end up making the cut. I think they're okay, but we'll see as we get going here, as we get through these games, if they're even remotely close to making the cut. So Golden State at Washington. As far as Golden State goes, Lee is questionable. Pascal's out. Toscan Anderson is out. Wiseman is out. And then on the Washington side, Bryant and Hachimura are out. Let's start here with Golden State. It's Curry versus Westbrook. Curry's gone over 60 now in four of his last five games. This is a guy that is just playing at an insane level right now, and it's hard not to target him every time he's on a slate.
Yeah, I mean, the spend-ups on the slate are fantastic. That's why I'm hoping that a lot of value ends up opening up. Curry is probably either the top three spend-ups on the slate are all pretty close to each other, with Curry potentially being the top one. Just what he's doing is unreal. Over 40 real-life points in four of the last five. Like you said, over 60 fantasy points in four of the last five. The dude has had over 10 three-pointers in four of the last five. He's just playing at an unreal level right now. It's a matchup versus Washington, the fastest-paced team in the league. Curry is an absolutely outstanding play, a guy that you're going to want to put into a lot of your lineups. Outside of that, the only other guy I would consider is Draymond. Like, this is a spot where it's going to be a high-paced game. He's going to be running the offense a little bit, and this could potentially be a triple-double spot for him. Like, this is a spot where he could end up with 15 assists here just because of the high pace of this game. He's a guy that I don't think is going to get a lot of ownership in tournaments because of his price tag and the fact that he really hasn't done great in the last couple of games. But the high upside game, I think, is going to be coming soon, and this is a game that should – the high scoring should be close. So I think Draymond's definitely a guy you can look at in tournaments, but I wouldn't look at anyone else outside of Curry and Green.
Well, you like, this is like out of nowhere, Golden State like has a chance to make the playoffs. So every game matters, and you're definitely seeing that out of Curry right now. Like, he's putting up monster games every night, and Draymond's feeding the ball. Like, you look at it and Draymond's assists are fantastic. So Draymond's a triple double walking upside type of guy, and Curry's a guy that can put up 50 actual points on his way to 70 plus fantasy points. So I think those are the two targets. I'm right there with you. I don't think Anderson and Wiseman being out really changing much for Golden State. So I'm really just looking at those two guys. And then on the Washington side, I know Beal is here, but this is Westbrook. Like, he's another guy that has just been, I can't even remember the last time we saw him go under 50 fantasy points.
Yeah, it's been the last 10 games over 50 fantasy points, averaging over 60 in that span. Just been unreal. Triple-double every single game in the last 9 outside of one where he missed by one assist. Like, he's doing everything right now. He is going to eat up all the usage. It's a fast-paced matchup. These are the two guys that I want to pay up for, them and Jokic, which we'll get to later. But, like, I want to do stars and scrubs as much as possible on the slate just because Westbrook, Curry and Jokic are absolutely incredible plays. Beal, like, if you really want to in GBPs, if you want to fade Westbrook, there's always a chance that Beal ends up putting up one of those massive outings. He has been putting up 40 at a fairly consistent basis, so could be one of those spots where he ends up taking 30 shots from the floor in a high-paced matchup, but I'm not touching anyone else on this team. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's really Westbrook. You know, with Hachimura out, could you take shots on Bertans? Sure. You know, if you think he's going to play 28 to 30 minutes, I think he's the only other guy that I think you could take a shot on here because he's 4,300, but it's really going to come down to what other value opens up throughout the day. Does Bertans stay relevant or not? I think is the biggest question. Brooklyn at Toronto. It's a back-to-back for Brooklyn. Toronto, Harris, Hood, and Watson are out. Let's start here with Brooklyn. I mean, like, we know that Harden's not going to play. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. We have no idea with Kevin Durant. I don't know. Brooklyn's almost impossible to break down the night before. Both of those guys said, I think you can look at Kyrie. You could potentially look at, like, Blake Griffin and Bruce Brown. But overall, this is a team that's on a back-to-back, and you got to be super careful with injury news.
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to end up happening. If Durant ends up playing, then you can take a shot on Kyrie. You can take a shot on Durant, but you don't want anything else. If Durant ends up sitting, then yeah, Kyrie becomes definitely a bit more in play. I think you could potentially go with Harris, Brown, Griffin, but the price tags are all about where they should be on this size of slate. Just not really worth it. You're not going to get a ton of upside. Same thing with Green, same with Shamet. Like, all these guys aren't offering you the upside you need on a 14-game slate. It was a little bit different yesterday on a 4-game slate where there's not as many options. But here, if Durant ends up playing, just I'm crossing off Brooklyn. Durant ends up sitting, then it's probably just Kyrie for me.
On the Toronto side of things, like, I think you can take shots on Van Vliet, but with everybody really healthy, like, I don't have a ton of interest in Toronto here.
Yeah, I mean, you can really take a shot on Siakam, Van Vliet, Lowry, OG, but with everyone there, it's definitely a big downtick. The only reason why I would consider it is because it's a matchup versus Brooklyn. So obviously, they're not great defensively. They run at a high pace. It's always a decent spot. So, like, any one of these guys could potentially end up with a 55, even a 60-point game. But the likelihood of it happening isn't great. They're all priced where they should be, or probably a bit too high considering that everyone's actually in there. So anytime you have all their main starters playing, it's just not really worth it. Even in a great spot against Brooklyn, I'm probably not playing any Toronto guys.
You get the Brooklyn bump for, like, Siakam and Boucher, but I think on this slate, you're probably not ending up on those guys, you know, with their prices. Like Boucher would be the guy that I think you take the shot on if you're going to play either one of them and just hope that he has like a massive ceiling game. OKC at Indiana taking on the Pacers. Dort is questionable. SGA, Muscala, and Roby are out. On the Indiana side, Bitstays is questionable. Lamb is questionable. McDermott's questionable. Sabonis, Turner, and Warren are out. Let's start here with the Thunder. I mean, I think it matters if Dort doesn't play because that could potentially open up things for like maybe like a guy like Maldon or Kendrick Williams maybe.
Yeah, Kendrick, Maldon, like even potentially Bazley getting a little bit more of a usage bump there. Like all those guys are in play if Dort ends up playing or if Dort doesn't end up playing. If Dort ends up playing, it's just Dort for me. Like that's it. And just the run that he's gone on recently, like putting up 40 in three straight games, put up a 65-point game, like just the amount of shots he's taken, everything he's doing. I'm willing to go back to, especially going up against Indy, who's been playing one of the fastest pace in the league and has been terrible defensively. And he's going to be even more of a terrible defensive team without Sabonis, without Turner there. But like if Dort's in there, then it's literally just Dort. Everyone else gets a bump if Dort's out, but I don't fully trust anyone's minutes. Again, the prices are kind of where they should be. Bazley would be the guy that offers the most upside. Kenrich, like at 4,900, is probably a bit too cheap, but you're going to get other cheap options on the slate. Maldon just hasn't performed, and I think he's a little bit more viable over on FanDuel, where I think he's quite a bit cheaper still. Over on DraftKings at 5,400, I don't think I can go there even without Dorton there, just because like his price tag, his ceiling, not really there. So it's a tough one to figure out without Dort being in there, but without having the Dort news, but if he's in there, it's just him. If he's out, Basley's probably the main move.
As far as the Pacers go, obviously, you know, Sabonis and Turner being out, more Sabonis makes a huge difference here. Back injury, but more of the Thunder stink, and we could probably win without him. Let's talk the Pacers here. I think we're definitely going to be looking at like good usage for Brogdon and LeVert in this spot. What are your thoughts here on the Pacers?
Yeah, Brogdon and LeVert are the main two options, obviously, without Sabonis and without Turner in there. They get a pretty big uptick in usage. I know LeVert didn't pay off in the last game. He still put up 19 shot attempts, so I wouldn't fully buy into that. He's still a guy that can easily get into the 40-point range, maybe in the 50-point range if he has a decent outing. Brogdon is the preferred play, in my opinion. He's going to play good amount of minutes if the game stays close, and he's going to shoot the ball quite a bit and be involved in all spots of the offense. So he's a guy that most likely has a 50-point ceiling. He's the guy that I'd really want to go with. Outside of that, like, I'd probably wait for the starting lineup. Like, Goga is going to be a big thing. If Goga ends up playing, then I think he's potentially in play. He could end up playing 27, 28 minutes, and we know that he's a guy that can get a ton of boards, ton of blocks, and still get some points if he doesn't end up getting into foul trouble in those minutes. So he's definitely a guy that I think they'll end up throwing in the game a decent amount going up against Tony Bradley and Moses Brown, just because they need some height without Sabonis and Turner. So Goga would definitely be a guy that's in play. If he's out, then who are they going to start? Samson?
Brissett.
Yeah.
Brissett.
Yeah, he's 3.1K.
He started the other night, yeah.
Did he start the other night?
Pretty sure.
I thought Goga started the other night and got injured. So Brissett, I think, started the second half.
I thought I read a report that he started against the Spurs. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was his first career start. It was something that came across Twitter.
He signed a 3-year contract.
Yeah, got it. I'm pretty sure he had his first start.
That could be it. I don't know. It's
fresh off his first start of his career, Monday's loss to the Spurs. There you go.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, it's tough to remember who played and who didn't play and who started, because that day I think we had like 30 different things to pay attention to. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it's NBA in April, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you can play Brissett, 3.1K. Goga's out. He's going to play probably high 20s minutes. He's cheap. But yeah, like predominantly Brogdon, LeVert, maybe just ancillary guys, depending on if Lamb plays, depending on if McDermott ends up playing, then you could see some of these other 3K guys potentially getting a big workload in there just because they're just so decimated by injuries.
Moving on. Phoenix at Philly, Nader's out. And then on the Philly side, Tobias and Simmons are questionable. Yeah. Let's start with the Phoenix side of things. Anything standing out to you for Phoenix?
Ayton, maybe, but he's probably going to get into foul trouble or have a tough time going up against Embiid. Could end up playing a decent amount of minutes, but I'm not playing Booker. I'm not playing Paul. It's obviously not a great defensive matchup, although it'll be a big increase to them if Simmons and Harris end up missing. But 6'8", or 8'6", and 7'7", not price tags I want to pay for them on this slate. With all the other superstars on the slate, with all the potential injuries, like them at full health, I'm just kind of crossing them off outside of maybe 8 in the tournaments.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really love this spot for Phoenix. And then like, I always think you could take shots on Chris Paul in tournaments, but and then like on the Philly side, if Simmons and Harris are out, like we're probably playing Embiid in this spot.
Yeah, probably playing Embiid in the slot, potentially Korkmaz, potentially Seth Curry. Shake Milton could end up getting the start instead of Korkmaz. I think in that case, if Shake Milton does end up getting the start, I think that you could end up using him, but it's more likely going to be Korkmaz, who's at 5K, which is probably a little bit too high of a price tag. So predominantly Embiid, maybe Korkmaz, maybe Seth Curry, maybe Shake Milton, depending on what value ends up opening up.
Yeah, like obviously you're just gonna have to wait and see what this looks like. If Simmons and Harris are both out, Embiid obviously sees a huge uptick in usage, and it would definitely potentially open up a lot of value here. You know, like Tobias dealing with a knee injury and Simmons was out for illness the other night, so you could definitely look at, you know, Monday night's game and kind of look at the usage through that game. Like Danny Green had a really solid game. So there's obviously a little bit of sample size with these guys off the floor recently. You know, like Seth Curry even had like 20% usage the other night. So just going to have to kind of wait and see what we're looking at here just overall. Utah at Houston. Ilyasova is questionable and Mitchell's out. And then on the Houston side, Augustine, Brown, Exum, Gordon, House, Nwaba are all out. Let's start with Utah. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell being out definitely bumps up Joe Ingles and Mike Conley.
Yeah, bumps up Joe Ingles. It bumps up Conley. It bumps up Clarkson. Bumps up Bogdanovich. Bumps up Gobert a little bit. But all their prices are kind of about where they should be. I'm worried about this game being blowout. I didn't even check Vegas lines because there were so few of them. But I'm guessing this game ends up being a blowout. I mean, obviously Houston has nothing to play for. They're terrible. Utah, even without Mitchell, is still a very good team. I'm not expecting this game to stay close. I'm not going to argue with shots on Ingles, Clarkson, Conley, Bogdanovich, or Gobert. Like, they're all fine, but they're all priced where they should be. If I want to play anyone, it's probably going to be Gobert just because Houston, not great versus bigs, but it's largely reliant on the game staying close. And I don't know if that'll end up happening. So I don't have a problem with any of those, but I don't think they're going to stay close. So I'm just fading Utah.
And then on the Houston side of things, like everybody's kind of healthy here. And it's a matchup against one of the best defensive teams in the league. Like I'm probably going to fade Houston here.
Yeah. I don't want anyone. Like if anyone, it's going to be a Linick. Just because he can't have those ceiling games, he can't get hot shooting the ball, and he's played a decent amount of minutes and done a decent amount in this offense, and every single game that ends up staying close with him, he ends up playing high 30s minutes. So if you want to stack up this game and you do want to play Utah guys, which I don't plan on doing, then bringing it back with Kelly O is probably the right move, and you really can use Wall or Wood if you really want to, but they're priced where they should be, and I don't see the biggest ceiling in the world for them.
Atlanta at New York, both these teams on a back-to-back. We'll be waiting to see like what comes out of injury-wise, if you know Hunter and Gallinari and these guys are going to be out for another game. Anything standing out to you for Atlanta?
I mean, Trae Young's always in play for tournaments, but he's far from the best spend up on the slate. Matchup versus New York, obviously one of the slowest-paced teams in the entire league. Good defensively. Like, this is not a good spot for Trae Young. This is not a good spot for Capella. Bogdanovich is 7.8K. Don't know if I want to use Collins. Probably not using Herter. So it'd literally just be Young or Capella, and Young isn't even close to the best payout. And Capella, while he can have a big game, he's probably a little bit more better suited for faster paced games and better and worse defensive teams. So I don't see upside with him. Like, he's probably going to end up in the 40, 45 point range, and it's not enough to get done on this slate. I'm probably going to fade Atlanta.
Yeah, like, I think this is like the same conversation that I had yesterday, as far as like Atlanta facing the Magic and Atlanta facing the Knicks here. Like, the Knicks are solid. They're a much better team than the Orlando Magic. The Atlanta, you know, Trae Young and Capella can have ceiling games, but I don't know. They're not really standing out to me. When they're expensive, like, I'll find the extra money to get to Curry or Westbrook or one of those other guys. And then on the New York side, like, I think you can always take shots on Julius Randle in tournaments, but I really don't love any of these guys.
Yeah, literally just Randle. Like, I'm not playing anyone else. It's that simple. Like, it is a decent matchup going up against Atlanta, but it's not great. Randle would be the only real guy. And are you really going to pay 10.2K for Randle when you can get Westbrook, Curry, Jokic, Embiid all for under $800 less?
Yeah, like, if I'm playing a Nick, it's probably like Reggie Bullock.
And I'm not going to be happy about that. And I guarantee on a, what, 10, 12 game slate,
there's going to be way more value that opens up.
Yeah. Like, there's no chance. Like, the chances of a Nick ending up on the optimal lineup are very, very slim.
Miami at San Antonio. Bam's questionable. Butler's questionable. Deadman's questionable. Hero's questionable. And Oladipo's out. And then on the Spurs side, just Trey Lyles is out. Miami, like, you're really just going to have to wait and see what we're looking at here. Like, this is an 8:30 game. Hopefully we get some news before lock, because if these guys are out, like Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic, all these guys become very, very playable here. Precious, like, all these guys.
Yeah, so I'm just going to try and break this down as much as I can fairly quickly. If Bam misses, Butler plays, Hero doesn't play, Butler's a good play. If Bam misses and Butler misses and Hero misses, Nunn and Dragic become fantastic play. If Bam misses and Deadman misses, Precious becomes a fantastic play. If Butler, Bam, Hero, and Deadman all miss, you can play everyone. Everyone's going to be far too cheap. Nunn would be the preferred play, followed probably by Dragic. If Butler and Bam miss, but Hero ends up playing, Hero then comes into the conversation as a good play with a bit of a downtick to both Nunn and Dragic, who aren't as great plays anymore. Because although they will all play minutes and they will all get a big usage uptick, Hero is going to be the guy that I prefer. But yeah, Bam and Butler are out and everyone else ends up playing. It probably goes Nunn, Hero, Dragic for me in terms of ranking them. But Nunn and Hero are going to be pretty close together.
On the Spurs side, 8,400 for DeRozan is probably right around where he should be priced. DeJounte Murray, only gone over 40 fantasy points in two of his last 10 games. Like, these guys are all kind of priced right. Derek White has a little bit of upside, but I think the guy that stands out to me the most, especially if like some of these like Bam starts getting ruled out, is Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah, Poeltl would be. So again, this all kind of depends on the Miami situation too. If both Butler and Bam play, I will not play a single Spur. Decent chance that this game's a blowout. They're a much better defensive team. They're going to run at a slow pace, so it becomes an automatic horrible matchup for the Spurs, and all the Spurs are probably priced where they should be. If Butler and Bam get ruled out, I could see this game staying close. DeRozan and Murray become in play. If Deadman and Bam are out, they really aren't going to have a ton of size, and Poeltl becomes a guy that's very much in play. But that's kind of the breakdown. San Antonio depends just as not just as much, but a lot on who in Miami ends up ruling out in this game. And if everyone plays, just don't touch the Spurs.
Detroit at Dallas is where we move on to next. Hayes is out, Magruder's out, DSJ's doubtful, Hardaway's questionable for Dallas. Anything standing out to you for Detroit?
not a single person. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's going to play minutes. Stewart's priced up a little bit. He'd be the one guy that I would really consider, just because even with Plumlee coming back, he can still get a decent amount of minutes and he can do some work in that time. Like, they're kind of handing off the reins to him a little bit, but he's still probably going to go from being playing like 33, 35, 32 minutes down to about 25, 26 minutes. So if this game ends up staying close, you can see Stewart get a full complement of minutes, like 25, 26, and he can get it done in that range. But if other value ends up opening up on the slate, he's not in play. Grant, Bay, Jackson, Joseph, Diallo, Plumlee, with everyone healthy, none of them even come close to making the cut. Diallo would be the one guy that I may consider, but he's probably only going to be around 20 minutes. He is 3,800, but with his minutes, with everyone back and everyone healthy, I don't think that he's going to really get that much run, and I don't think that he's going to be as good of a cheap play as a lot of other guys end up opening on the slate. We just don't know what's going to open up. So if nothing opens up for some strange reason, then Diallo is going to be the guy that ends up coming into play.
Dallas, like, I think Luka's in play, but I think the other guys in this price range are more playable than him today.
Luka, outside of Randall, is my least favorite guy over 10K. Porzingis, you can always play, but 9K, he's going to ruin your lineups a whole lot more than he's going to help him out, because there's going to be one guy that's 1,800 more that's going to go probably for 15 to 20 points more than Porzingis, and a legit chance that multiple guys end up going 40 more points than Porzingis, and Porzingis just has a rough outing. It's a match versus Detroit. Don't know if this game stays close. Detroit doesn't have anything to play for. They're going to roll out everyone for limited minutes because they have such a deep rotation. And Dallas, I think, blows them out. So I'm out on probably everyone on Dallas.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Memphis at LA, taking on the Clippers. Brooks is questionable. Triple J is questionable. We'll see, you know, maybe he's back from the knee surgery, and then Valanciunas is out. On the Clippers side of things, it is a back-to-back for the Clippers, and we know that, like, Kawhi is not going to play. They said he will be reevaluated in a week. So, like, we already know he's not going to play in this game. I think that's, you know, kind of big news for this slate. We'll see if Ibaka plays or not. But let's start here with Memphis. Valanciunas is out. That's kind of big news. Obviously, we're going to be waiting to see if Triple J plays. And if he does play, I don't really expect him to play much. Is this a spot we could potentially play like Brandon Clark or Xavier Tillman?
If Triple J ends up playing, no. If he doesn't, then yeah, I think Tillman or Clark both are potentially in play. They don't need a lot of size going up against Clippers, but they'll still end up rolling them out. So, I wouldn't be surprised if either of them gets a decent amount of minutes. Melton played 41 minutes and had 54 points. And I kind of want to hear your thought process on this, because I don't think that I want to play him, but just judging from what he got, like, if Brooks ends up getting ruled out, like, they may keep rolling him out for a decent amount of minutes. And Melton's 4,400. Like, I don't know if this is just chasing. I haven't looked into it a ton. Obviously, match versus the Clippers isn't great. But like, can we consider Melton? Like, I don't really have interest in anyone else. Like, Morant's always fine in tournaments. Like we said, Tillman, Clark, both potentially in play. If Triple J doesn't end up playing, even if he's on a 15-minute restriction or 15-minute limit, that's still going to take enough minutes from both Tillman and Clark that I have no interest in them, because, like, yeah, it's just not worth it at their price tags. And Triple J at 7.1K is not in play. Anderson could end up playing a boatload of minutes, but he could end up paying up a decent game, but there's a big enough slate where you can ignore him. So, yeah, it's really just Melton. Like, is that chasing? Like, we hadn't seen him in a few weeks. He came in and just played a boatload of minutes, and I get that they had a few guys out. That might end up being without Brooks, which would definitely give an uptick to Melton. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, that was one of the main things I'm trying to figure out and wanted to hear your input on. Like, is Melton in play?
I think if Brooks is out, sure. Because he got plenty of run. They started Bane, and Bane he played 15 minutes. He really didn't play much at all, you know, even with the start. So I wouldn't, like, he got into foul trouble. So I think that is where the chasing might come from, because if Bane starts again and doesn't get into foul trouble, like he picked up two quick fouls. I know he picked up one quick foul, and then like Melton checked in and Melton went bonkers. And then Bane checked in the second quarter and picked up two more fouls. So he was at three. They just played him at short stints. And I think that Melton's okay. I think the guy that you're playing under 5K is Grayson Allen, because he's going to get his shots up. And if Brooks is out, he's obviously going to see an uptick in usage. But this dude has gone over 35 fantasy points in two of the last three games, and he's 4,900. I think he's one of the better value plays on the slate.
Yeah, I don't mind that call.
He's going to get lost in the mix too.
Yeah, he definitely will. I just don't know how many other – it's hard at this point, because there could potentially be eight guys at around four to 5K that are now fantastic. I mean, literally just the Miami game could make Allen pretty much a no-go.
Let's talk Clippers here. No Kawhi. Do you have any interest in Paul George?
A little bit. Like, it's Paul George without Kawhi. He can put up a 60-point game. Like, if you can't make it up to Steph or Westbrook or Jokic or Embiid, if Simmons and Tobias Harris don't end up playing, Paul George is probably the guy in the 9K range that you want to play. Outside of that, like, I don't know, like, maybe Man, but probably not.
Yeah, I think I'm out. I think Paul George is really the only guy that I'd have interest in, and I don't know if I'd necessarily would play him a ton on this slate. So I think Paul George is the guy you're looking at for upside, maybe Man, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I don't love the Clippers here. Denver at Portland. Morris and Murray are out. Portland's on a back-to-back, so we'll wait to see what we're looking at for them. But we do know that Lillard is probably very questionable to play, and Nurkic is probably going to be back. I don't know. We'll see. What do you like here for Denver?
Jokic and Porter. That's it. Jokic is just playing unreal without Murray in there. Just putting up fantastic games every single night. It's just trying to figure out who you want to play between Jokic, Westbrook, Curry, and Embiid. It's a tough decision. I think Jokic is definitely in the conversation, but it's not a clear and obvious he's the top play like it was the other night. MPJ, like, got a price increase a little bit, but it's a matchup versus Portland. Without Murray on the court, like, we look at his last 5-6 games, he's been putting up close to 20 shot attempts a game, close to 10 three-point attempts a game. Like, hasn't shot terribly well during that time. He has 60-point upside, and you're not finding that from too many guys in the 7K range, 8K range. So MPJ, I think, is definitely a good play in tournaments going up against Portland.
Yeah, I think Jokic is very much in play here. Over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 1.7 fantasy points per minute, 31% usage rate. Just doing everything right now. He's a triple-double upside type of guy. So definitely like Jokic here. Don't mind Michael Porter Jr. I think he's a little expensive for a 12-game slate, but I think he's definitely in play. And outside of that, like, you know, Will Barton's okay. Aaron Gordon's okay. But I really think Jokic is the play here. And then on the Portland side, if Lillard is out again, I think you're looking at, you know, McCollum, maybe even Norman Powell.
Yeah, I don't know if Powell gets there. Like, it's a little bit different with this size of a slate. 6,600, like, he hasn't shown a ton of upside even without Lillard in there. Kanter, you can't really play him with Nurkic coming back. Nurkic, I don't know if you want to play him at 54. I think it was just injury management why Nurkic didn't play in the last game, so I'm assuming he's going to be back in this one, even though we don't have the injury report. I'm just under the assumption that he's going to play, so it's really just McCollum for me. And at 8.8K, he's fine. He's not great. Like, even without Lillard, he can put up a 50-some-odd point game. But I think there's just too many other good plays on the slate.
We finished it out with Minnesota at Sacramento. Both of these teams are on a back-to-back because, hey, Grant, they played each other on Tuesday.
They're playing each other right now as we are speaking. And I may not pay the rate tonight on Superdraft. Hooray me.
And this is like the same spot that I talked about yesterday. As far as like Minnesota goes, we'll see if D'Angelo Russell plays on the second end of a back-to-back. I think that's obviously the biggest thing that we're going to be looking at here injury news wise, but you know, we're seeing Carl Anthony Towns go for 50, Russell's over 40, Edwards is over 37, and McDaniel's over 25, but no real like massive ceiling spots outside of maybe like D'Angelo Russell because he was cheap, but we'll see if he plays on the second end. If he's out, I really like Edwards.
Yeah, if he's out, I like Edwards. If he ends up playing on the second move back-to-back, I am a little bit worried about his minutes. He's going to end up around 28 minutes in this game. They didn't have a chance to raise his price tag because obviously they just started playing 2 hours ago and the salaries have been released for hours. So I think Russell's potentially in play for tournaments. It's a match versus Sacramento again. Sacramento obviously terrible defensively. And guess what? Russell just is putting up 40 points right now against him. So Towns in play. Russell in play if he's gone into playing. If he doesn't, Edwards is in play.
On the other side of this game, do you have any interest here in the Kings son?
Fox and Barnes. Like obviously Minnesota's a pretty good matchup. Barnes' price tag is up there, but still a guy that's going to do a whole lot in this offense with Holmes no longer playing, Bagley still out. So I think Barnes and Fox are the play, but Fox is 10K, and I don't see many situations where, like, he really is close in score to Westbrook, Curry, Embiid, or Jokic. Like, yes, he can put up a 60-point game. He's done it fairly often, but he's probably not going to put up a 70-point game. And Curry, Jokic, Westbrook are all averaging 60 points a game over the last 10. So he just doesn't make the cut. Maybe on a different site where he's a little bit cheaper, you could potentially end up going with him. But it's probably just Barnes, and Barnes isn't even that great of a play at 7K.
Yeah, like... Is it chasing if we go back to the well on Mo Harkless? Like, he played 34 minutes against Dallas. He's at 30 minutes in this game right now. Is it chasing? He's 3,500. Like, if he's going to play 30 minutes, should we be taking shots here on Mo Harkless?
Yeah, I guess you're probably right there. Yeah.
Nobody wants to play Mo Harkless, especially on a 12-game slate, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I mean, I don't know what value is going to end up opening up, but at this moment right now, he does stand out as one of the better value plays on the slate, which is gross, but I can guarantee one of the eight teams on a back-to-back I can guarantee about eight guys from the eight teams on a back-to-back are going to get rolled out at least. And potentially value is going to open up on Miami. So as of right now, yeah, he stands out as a pretty decent value play.
That's it. Let's play the morning grind game. We'll give out our super draft play of the day and then we'll get out of here. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X.
We just take Harkless.
Sure.
Yeah, might as well. There's a lot of question marks around the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I'm going to take a guy that obviously injury news is really going to affect whether or not you're playing him or not, but give me Brissett. I think if we get the injury news that Fitzdays is out, then I think Brissett is very solid here at 3,100. Especially going up against the Thunder and probably not coming out in a blowout. So very interesting. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust today?
Porzingis.
I feel like he's been a default answer for so long in this game.
Yeah.
I think Westbrook is just going to go bonkers in this game. So I'm going to go Beal bust today because I think we're going to see a monster game from Westbrook. Favorite 6X play?
Yeah, it feels weird to say, but I'm going to go with Steph.
That's who I was taking.
Yeah, it's just weird saying that for a guy that's 10.5K.
Well, let's go Westbrook, too. Let's just stack the two studs. That was the other guy I was thinking about. Let's stack the two studs and see what happens on this slate. With all the value, I don't think it's going to be that hard to do that either. So You might even be able to like throw Draymond in there as well, like to make that work. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. Who do you got?
Melton.
It's so funny. I already wrote down Grayson Allen, both from that same game. Let's do our super draft play of the day. There's no really like over under odds or anything like that. That like there's just not a lot of lines out right
over
now.
Over in the Golden State game.
All right, that works.
I don't know. I'm just assuming the over.
Do you have a super draft play ready?
I can, but do you want to just give yours first?
Well, I had super draft up and I refreshed the page. And
okay, you know, so the biggest thing is going to be on. Yeah, the biggest thing is going to be based on the Miami news. If they're out, Hero and Nunn and Dragic all become fantastic plays at 1.55 and 1.6x. Each of them are one of those. So they're probably the main plays. Paul George has the biggest multiplier discrepancy between the top range guys. He's at 1.25x. That's definitely too low. The lock and loads are probably at the lower end are probably going to be – oh, yeah, I forgot. The Golden State game's out of it. So I was going to say I was looking for Steph and Westbrook. But, yeah, it's going to be the – depending on the injury news for Miami, it's going to be the guards there. If they don't, then it's Paul George.
I finally got it to load. So I was just quickly trying to find something. It's hard not to say just play Jokic at one at like 1.05. And like, there's some center plays that obviously can get there, but I think like Jokic has 70 plus point upside without his multiplier. So I'm going to say Jokic is my super draft play of the day today.
Yep. And I did end up losing money on super draft. Thank you. Jinxed myself.
You did.
Biscuit.
So yeah, just so you know, super draft, their NBA slate today is a 7-game slate that, starts with the 8 o'clock game. So it takes out some of the potential like chalky games. I really like Grayson Allen too at 1.7. I think that's really solid for a guy that can put up 30 fantasy points alone by without the multiplier. So Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm just and look at the injury report in the morning and keep that in mind when you're listening.
That's going to wrap it up here for Wednesday's NBA slate. Justin and Will be back tomorrow. If you're looking for the baseball podcast, it's over there on the feed as well. Beer Makers fan joined me to break down the 7-game baseball slate. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Hope everyone has an awesome Wednesday. Good luck in your contest. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Tickets. Hey,